Are you ready?
Let's make some noise, come on!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, a man fresh off of a red eye back from the World Baseball Classic one, Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing as always, as we say during this pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
I have to make an admission. I watched the World Baseball Classic.
Wow. I need fanfare. I don't know if I have the audio, the trumpets and fanfare here loaded into the app, but Chris Domingo, noted baseball hater, watched some of the Baseball Classic this week.
How was it? It was fantastic. Wow. No, and like I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between like, and you know what? I'll say it. World Baseball Classic is probably the best international sports, competition other than soccer. Like there's more passion in that World Baseball Classic than I've seen in the last two Olympics for basketball.
Yeah, Olympic, there's no standalone. I mean, there are standalone basketball events around the world, but no one cares about that. Like you said, other than the World Cup, which is the biggest sporting event in the world, there's really no standalone events for the other sports that kind of carry the same weight, and it feels like, than the World Baseball Classic. These guys really care, man. Like these guys and
Mike Trout. I heard Mike Trout talk in the last week that I've heard him talk in 10 years. I'm telling you, he loved them. And I'm not sure how much of a difference the World Baseball Classic is from regular baseball, but you ain't getting the same passion. I don't know. Like maybe it's because, and the World Baseball Classic has been going on forever. Like, I don't know. Did it hit just because it was in America this time?
No. So the finals, I've looked this up. The finals are always in America. The finals have been in, they've been in San Fran, they've been in LA, Miami. I think Texas might have had a thing. The finals are always in America because the way the Baseball Classic is scheduled, it's always scheduled during spring training. So they don't want guys to be like too far away from America when this all goes down. But I think it was just a kind of a confluence of events where it's just like, you know, you had a World Cup last year, you had a Olympics a couple of years ago, you have. People, a lot of people just wanting to play, you know, have pride in their country. Didn't have the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago because of COVID. So it's been longer than usual break. But the guys involved in it, they'd say it's better than, you know, Shohei Ohtani, who was the MVP of the World Baseball Classic, said this was the best moment of his life. Now, again, he's like 28, so yeah, he's barely lived. But, I mean, these guys love playing for their country, whether it's the U.S. guys or the Japan guys or – the Dominican Republic guys or Puerto Rico, it's a really cool event. But my question to you is, how do you keep this energy going? Because
you know what?
It doesn't translate back to Clearwater like you think it might.
No, you know what? You know how we always said WWE was looking for that next super baby face, and I think they may have found it with Cody Rhodes. I think baseball found its next superstar, and it's the guy who pitches and bats. And it doesn't speak a lick of English, and it doesn't matter. Like this, no, he's a draw. Like, I don't know. Like, and I can't remember another player that in baseball that was considered a draw. Like, I don't know. It, like, the guys that come off the top of my head are Bonds, Steroid McGuire, Steroid Sosa. Like, I don't know. Like, when is the last time that, like, baseball had a player that's like, I'm going to interleague baseball. I'm going to see Shohei Ohtani, like in every city. Like he's that guy, and it's a combination of something that hasn't been done successfully since Babe Ruth. Literally, this isn't like an exaggeration. He's the first man since Babe Ruth, and like I don't know, like when you mention Babe Ruth, that's like mentioning Wilt Chamberlain. That's mentioning Jim Thorpe. These figures that we don't think existed because there's so many crazy stories, but Shohei Ohtani is doing Babe Ruth stuff and it helps to shine on these stages because he, I don't know, went up against his team. It's still crazy to me how, according to ESPN, the Angels have the two best players in the entire sport and still suck.
There is really no defense of the Anaheim Angels or LA Angels of Anaheim, whatever they call themselves these days. You literally, as Chris said, you literally have the two best players.
No, you know what you call them? Ass. I'm going to call them the Los Angeles ass.
Shohei Ohtani. Well, Mike Trout is, again, he's put up ridiculous numbers, and you know, people have already compared him to DiMaggio and Bonds and, you know, Babe Ruth. And if Mike Trout walked away from baseball today, he'd be an instant first ballot Hall of Famer, the greatest player, the best player, the most talented player of this current generation, probably the second best player on this team. Because you have a guy in Shohei Ohtani who has the ability and who's done it to you know, go 15-8 like he did last year with a sub 3 ERA, and also hit 280 with 30 home runs and 100 RBI at the World Baseball Classic. He hit 435, four doubles and a home run, had a 186 ERA with 11 strikeouts, two wins and a save. He had the hardest hit ball at the World Baseball Classic. He had the hardest thrown ball at the World Baseball Classic, and he also made it from home plate to first base in 4.1 seconds. The dude he's like a creative player. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And the Angels stink, and they stink out loud. But you're right. He's the first attraction in this sport since Bonds. People, if and when Shohei Ohtani comes to your city, you need to go see him. And the LA Angels of Anaheim, whatever we want to call them again, $30 million paying him this year is an absolute bargain, and he's going to get the half a Billy contract next year.
He might get more than but I think he might be worth it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the residual effect that you're going to get with Ohtani, because you get that Japan market where, like, you are getting every Japanese person in that region is, like, I don't know. You just tapped into something that you're not getting. Like, your season tickets go up. Your average, like, I don't know. Like, that is the Ohtani effect. And we haven't had a blank insert baseball player effect in a long time. I'm telling you, this is it hasn't been since Bonds.
No, it's been a long time. And again, like you said, with the Japan market, I think it was 95% of Japanese TV sets were on watching the baseball, the World Baseball Classic final between the U.S. and Japan. And even in the U.S., 5.2 million people watched the final on.
Right, like, it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence when you see, like, the videos of when you see Angels games, you see a lot of Asian people there. I mean, like, and those Asian people ain't going to see Trey Turner.
Yeah, no, they're going to see, again, Shohei Ohtani, the best baseball player on the planet. And again, it's amazing to me that why the Angels stink. But kudos to the World Baseball Classic for getting it right. And there is a little bit of undercurrent in this country that still enjoys good baseball. Because, again, we got a bunch of good baseball these past 2 weeks. And there are baseball fans out there who care. And there's, you know, it's not just located to cities who are good. I mean, the Phillies, you know, they had a chance to see Trey Turner.
But isn't this, like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of the TV word. Like, I don't know, when you do, like, I don't know, like, a spinoff of something, and you're just like, yo, like, let's put Trey Turner on, like, the Challenge or something. I don't know. This is a terrible analogy.
Yeah,
but, like, you saw Trey Turner do something. I'm telling you, there are people that are like, yo, like me, I'm like, I've seen Trey Turner play baseball 7 times. And I'm like, yo, this dude's a beast. I'm probably going to watch a little more Phillies than I thought I was, because I want to see Trey Turner rake.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are going to, not non-Phillies fans, who saw Trey Turner and was like, yo, this guy might be the best shortstop in baseball. I'm going to watch a little bit more baseball, whether it's, you know, Apple TV or my local team or whatever, so I can see guys like Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and all those guys from that we saw in the World Baseball Classic. So, again, kudos to the U.S. for
And more
for
importantly, and, yes. no, and, sorry, Rory, and more importantly, I think the passion and the kind of the just, like, the emotion, the showing of emotion in baseball is slowly becoming more accepted. Like, you see it in the World Baseball Classic where, like, they ain't no rules because it's your country. Like, I don't know, you're gonna go crazy when, like, I don't know, like, someone gets struck out or, like, hits a home run. I feel like, I don't know, and I think that's happening in, like, Major League Baseball, but you still have those, like, idiot boomers that are like, oh man, respect of the game, respect this. I want to see dudes like Tim Anderson. I want to see dudes like Trey Turner, like Joey Bats, do bat flips. No, it makes you realize, like, I don't know. Professional athletes need a character too. And for the longest time, baseball just hasn't had any. And maybe with Ohtani, and like, I don't know, you got a lot of dudes out there that, like, I don't know, got some juice. Let's let them show the juice.
No, that's a good point, because that's one of the main things that people who watch the World Baseball Classic mentions, that you saw a lot of the juice. You saw a lot of the character that you don't see, you know, in baseball. I know you saw, again, sadly, you know, the Edmund Diaz thing getting hurt, but you saw guys getting hype, you know, for wins because they're representing their country. They're representing, you know, their country and their, you know, place of birth or whatever, and they get excited. So again, have some of that excitement carry over to Major League Baseball proper. When the season starts next week, and then maybe again you can kind of bring some of those fans back to the game. So again, kudos to the U.S., kudos to Japan, and again, if you have a chance to watch Shohei Ohtani come to your town, please take advantage of it, because he is literally a unicorn. Like, we throw the term around a lot in sports, but he is a unicorn. So please enjoy him while we have the ability to do so in his prime. We are going to talk some football, because that's what we do on the show here on 106.5.
Roy, I showed the same passion that people watching WBC did when the Eagles signed a quarterback.
The Eagles signed a quarterback. We will talk about him.
Eight years too late, indeed.
But yeah, we're going to talk about the Eagles signing a quarterback and some other players as well. We have some draft news to get into as mock draft season continues, and we have some other stuff to get into as well, as we continue on the road to WrestleMania. But until we do all that, again, I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in every single week here on 106.5 FM, or downloading us wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube Music, all that good stuff. Just do a search for The Broad Street Line and download us to your phone, your computer, your iPad, your MP3-enabled device. Listen to us at home. Take us with you on the go. We are a very, very accessible show. And while you're doing all that, please do us a solid. Follow us on the Twitter machine. He is at SKD215. I am at the BS Line. This weekend, I will probably be tweeting about the road from the Sweet 16, which began earlier this week, to the Final Four, to the Final Four, which is happening next week. So we are cutting down. Well, actually, we'll be cutting down the regional nets this weekend. What will you be tweeting about this weekend, sir?
I won't be tweeting, but next week I will be tweeting, because it is the week. It's one of my favorite weeks. Somehow it became one of my favorite weeks because I just restarted watching wrestling in like 2014 for some reason. I don't know why, but it's Mania week. It's Wally Mania week. It's the week that you see SoFi Stadium build the official Rogue. Because you're seeing it now. It's pretty remarkable to see, like, I don't know, a stadium like that have to go through, like, this construction for, like, I don't know. Because this isn't just, like, I don't know, like, building stuff for a football game. You got to build stuff.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of infrastructure that comes with building a WrestleMania set for 2 days, a two-night WrestleMania set, which is happening, again, next weekend.
And next year somewhere.
Yes, next weekend at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, and next year at Lincoln Financial Field, where it will probably rain and thunderstorm and just have some nasty weather, because that's how what happens in Philadelphia. But yes, so next week we will do our WrestleMania preview, as we always do, with our good friend Andrew Goldstein. He will join us on the show. So if you are a fan of wrestling talk, we can kind of get into the nitty gritty stuff next week. With Andrew, again, he used to be part of the WWE writing team, so he knows all the inside stuff and what goes into preparing for a big event such as WrestleMania. So we will get into that next week on the show. But before we do all that, we have some Eagles stuff to talk about. And I don't know about you, but I got into my car the other day, and I was looking around. And I was like, you know what? It's a nice day. I got some gas in the tank. Let me go to this housing development across the street and kind of just see what's going around. Because there was an open house at the housing development, like right across the street. And I went, you know, I went down the street, Rose Court, right across the street from where I am. I went down and I kind of went through the housing development, kind of looped around. I didn't want to make it obvious. I kind of looped around the development, kind of slowed down in front of a particular house that was for sale, the open house. And I was like, you know what? Decent house. I don't know if at this price point, this is the house for me. And I kind of drove back and I went back to my house. Chip Kelly did the same thing about 5 years ago. Was it 5 years? Oh, no, I'm sorry, 8 years ago? About 8 years ago?
I think, no, that's crazy to think that, like, I don't know, that Mario, because, no, I mean, the fact that, like, no, I think it was 2015.
Yeah, I think
it was. Where, like, I don't know, like, I like the Chip Kelly era feels like it happened 9 centuries ago. It really did. Like, because you've only been to 2 Super Bowls. You've only had, like, I don't know, 800 things happen to the Eagles. But I mean, like, because I mean, and this isn't just like some conjecture or urban legend to say, oh my God, Chip Kelly almost traded for Marcus Mariota. There were players that publicly were actually named. You remember the Fletcher Coxes, the Michael Kendrickses.
Sam, like, Bradford, Fletcher Cox, yeah. Nelson Aguilar, Eric Rowe, and multiple picks for Marcus Mariota back in 2015. Yes. So yes.
But
so
however, Kelly,
yes.
But basically, I would love to know, like, I don't know, the 30 for 30. Did Jeff Lurie just say, nah? Like, because remember, this is when Howie was, like, I don't know, in detention. Like, I don't know. He didn't have, he couldn't tell. Like, he probably was, like, I don't know, like, yelling in his, like, I don't know, like, dark cubicle to say, don't do it. But I'm really interested to see because what if you just played the what if game? What if Jeffrey Lurie lets Chip Kelly buy that house?
Oh no, it's terrible. It would have been the worst decision, not the worst, because there's been a lot of bad decisions in the history of this franchise.
Do you think it would have, like, I don't know, changed, like, you? So you think regardless of whether they made that move or not, Chip Kelly was destined to not be a good NFL coach?
I don't think. Yeah, I'll put it like that. Yeah, you could have given Chip Kelly the weapon he desired more than any other weapon in the world. I don't think that would have mattered, because again, Chip Kelly. He won 10 games 2 years in a row here. I mean, he was a competent head coach, and, you know, he had some innovative
things. The intangibles he brought or didn't bring was really his downfall, and it didn't matter.
Still didn't talk to guys in the hallway, so I don't know whether or not Marcus Mariota was here or not.
Christmas party.
Canceled Christmas party. So would he have had the Christmas party if Marcus Mariota was here? I doubt it. So the other stuff, when as far as being a pro head coach, he wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to matter. So I don't care how much, you know, you told guys to, you know, to go to the bathroom and measure their urine and all the other crazy stuff he did and all the playlists he had during practice. None of that stuff would have mattered any better if Marcus Mariota was here.
You know what? That's a very good point. But however, do you think this changes the career trajectory of Marcus Mariota?
I'm sure Marcus Mariota probably would have been a better NFL player. I'm sure he would not be in the position where he is now as the recently signed backup to Jalen Hurts, signed a 1-year deal last week to back up Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably be a lot better. Well, I won't say better off, but I'm sure his bank account would be a little bit larger if Chip Kelly was here. Sure. I think so.
Yeah, but I think everything normalizes where I feel like, I don't know, like, I was wrong. Like that, like, you know how I always say I was right about Ben Simmons and Clark. I was dead ass wrong about Marcus Mariota. Because some dudes just don't have it. Like, I don't know. And I feel like, I don't know. Like, that is really, I mean, that's why drafting quarterbacks is really the biggest risk, biggest reward of almost anything in sports. Like, I mean, like, you're either getting Joe Burrow or you're getting Sam Darnold. I mean, there really is no meat. Like, what if last time you got?
I mean, like,
yeah, like, but you're not even getting mid dudes. Like, I don't know. Like, and it's either you're getting, I don't know, a super franchise quarterback, or you're getting nothing. Literally, you're getting Baker.
No, it's really, again, it's obviously, it's the most important position in all of pro sports. And it's obviously the hardest one to get right, because we've seen time after time after time, teams spend a lot of draft capital on, you know, who they think is their franchise quarterback. And for whatever reason, again, it could be a plethora of reasons, just a wrong system. You know, the guy just couldn't have the dog in him, you know, or whatever. It just doesn't work. Like, more often than not, it doesn't work. And with Marcus Mariota, again, had all the tools, looked like $1 million in an Oregon offense, came in the NFL, had some success with the Tennessee Titans. I mean,
he won a playoff game. Yeah, somehow, I still can't believe, no, I still remember he had a 1 year where he threw like 26 touchdowns, but I think, like with every quarterback that goes high, there's an extreme amount of pressure. Like, I don't know, like, figuratively and literally. Like, the literal part is usually a terrible offensive line. Couldn't, like, I don't know, can't shake the play. And I feel that really is, like, I don't know, that is, like, what, like, I don't know, what cuts, like, I don't know, like what, like, is, like, the equalizer in all this. How to handle the external pressure and the literal pressure of being a quarterback. And I don't know, it's, it seems too overwhelming for, I'd say, like a fair majority of the quarterbacks we have tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we've seen, you know, in this town, we've seen quarterbacks not be able to handle that pressure. But again, Marcus Mariota here on the Eagles after spending last year with the Atlanta Falcons, 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions for the Falcons last year. Started most of the season until they pulled the plug and went with Desmond Ridder. I saw some people against this Marcus Mariota trade. Let me just say this. Like, Marcus Mariota, whatever you think about Marcus Mariota, Marcus Mariota is a better fit for this offense than Gardner Minshew, period, point blank. That's it. Like, I don't think that's deniable. Like, God bless Gardner Minshew. He ain't running RPOs. I'm sorry. No. Like, it just
and more importantly now, Roy, is you get a dude now who I think has finally resigned himself to, this is who I am. I am a backup. Because you really didn't get that last year with Gardner Minshew. You had a dude, well, until like Jalen Hurts was MVP, and you're like, and Gardner Minshew came in and was buns. He's like, okay, no, like, I don't know. Marcus Mariota, because I think after this stint in Atlanta, he's like, you know what? It ain't for me. I'm going to be like, no. And Mariota's never been like criticized for being a bad teammate. Like, like he's always gotten opportunities because he's number two pick. But like,
I will say this. He did go home at the end of last year and said, I'm done. But I mean,
okay.
All right, like the Falcons were trash. They gave him no weapons to work with. I'm surprised he even had 15 passing touchdowns last year because they had zero receivers on that team. So God bless Marcus Mariota. But that being said, people were saying Marcus Mariota is not a good teammate. Gardner Minshew is a good teammate.
Okay, no, he's fine. Not. No. Like Gardner Minshew was trying to sniff that starting job till the very end. And like, I think experience and like, I don't know, from what I'm hearing, Mariota has just said, you know what, this is who I am. I'm the backup quarterback of a really good team. Rarely any quarterback plays 18 games. So, you know, or like 17 games. So, you know what, let me like, I don't know, do this. If lightning strikes twice and like, I don't know, I play well and like, I don't know, sure. But I think you get the – because for me, the backup quarterback isn't – for the best backup quarterbacks aren't the ones with the most talent. It's the ones that have accepted their fate. We're like, I don't know. Like, the best one – like, I don't know. Like, you know who the best ones are? Like, Chad Henne. Like, I don't know, who just like, you know what? I'm behind Patrick Mahomes. I ain't never playing. But you know what? I'm going to support the hell out of him. I'm going to teach him stuff. I don't know what the hell Mariota could teach Hurts. Well, like, I don't know.
He's got time in the league. Yeah.
No, like pitfalls. Like, no. And like, yeah. I don't like, cause you know what? It's gotta be a hard thing for like the number two pick to like, I don't know, resign them. Like, I don't know, to like acknowledge that, you know what? I'm done with being like a vibe. Cause I think last year in Atlanta was Mariota's like swan song. It's like, okay, this is it. Like, I don't know. Because why the hell would he have taken this backup job anyway? Like, there's no shot of him, like, I don't know, playing.
Right, right. Two things. One, I just want to co-sign your point. Marcus Mariota has experience in his league, and he can teach Jalen Hurts a few things or whatever. Gardner Minshew was not teaching Jalen Hurts anything. So that's one. Two, just give me a man who can run 90% of this offense as opposed to a dude who can run, like, 55% of the offense or 60% of the offense. Because again, I'll say this, those RPO plays with Gardner Minshew, there were no O's. All right. There's no action in those plays.
No, right? No. What we've learned, or what I've learned from the Gardner Minshew experience, is it looks a lot better from the outside than the inside.
Yeah.
Because he's not, like, I don't know. He is, I don't know. Like, he had that one great, like, decent game against the Jets and, like, I don't know, gets all fired up and looks like a redneck. Like, I don't know. Like, that, I'm telling you, he has a character. But he's a lot of character, not much else. Like, I don't know. Like, I always – like, I was one of these people that, like, yo, he's a borderline starting quarterback. He's not. He is a high-end – and I would say high-end because I can't consider him a high-end backup when he's sniffing the – trying to sniff the, like the – you know what? Because he's going to – I'm telling you, he's going to start for Indianapolis because, like, they're probably going to draft some young dude who ain't ready. That's probably why he signed with Indianapolis, because he still hasn't resigned himself to the fact that, yo, I'm a backup quarterback. I don't want that dude. I want a dude that is happy being a backup and stays prepared.
Again, not to belabor the point, in his defense, though, There is a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league.
Oh, I get it. I said it.
I understand. I'll leave it there. I understand Gardner Minshew, but kudos to Gardner Minshew. Best wishes, safe travels, all that good stuff. Thank you for holding it down for a couple of years here in Philadelphia. Welcome to Philly, Marcus Mariota. Also, welcome to Philly, Greedy Williams, the cornerback, former cornerback of the Cleveland Browns, has joined the Eagles, signed. He was mostly a special teams player last year. He had 41 tackles, two picks, and a forced fumble in 2021. Depth signing for the Eagles secondary. Joining him is Justin Evans, another safety. Well, he's a safety. Greedy Williams is a cornerback. Justin Evans is a safety from the Saints. 29 tackles last year for the Saints. He's 27 years old. These are two depth signings. I don't think anybody should get super excited about these, but again, more talented guys you can throw in the mix for the Eagles. I think it's a good thing.
At least, no. I mean, like, we haven't even talked about the main course of a man that deletes more tweets than, like, I don't know, like, that one of these influence. No, I feel like, I don't know, like, Roy, like, if you would have told me at the beginning of free agency that you would keep the best cornerback duo the Eagles have had in 20 years, I'd say that's a major win. Like, I don't know, like, and I'd say it, I'm starting to see why the Eagles kind of passed on signing the safety.
Yeah, the safety that Chris is referring to is one Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, as Chris mentioned, has a proclivity of tweeting things and deleting things on social media. He ultimately signed a one-year, $8 million deal with the Lions. But according to, and there have been a bunch of conflicting reports out of everybody related to the situation. But according to reports, what seems to be the most reasonable reports, or the most likely reports, the Eagles offered him a three-year deal at the start of free agency. He declined that deal. The Eagles said, "Hey, you know what? All right, we gotta change our focus." That's why they re-signed, James Bradbury, and that's why Darius Slay is back. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was like, "Yeah, what about me? What about Raven?" And the Eagles were like, "We don't have the money, brother." And so he signed the one-year, $8 million deal with the Lions, and then tweeted about how the Eagles deal was backloaded with money, and his agents tweeted something, and they deleted their tweet as well. So it's a whole lot of mess, a whole lot of talking.
Was that Master P?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the Master P, No Limit Agency, the ones who signed the infamous Ricky Williams deal, but they tweeted and deleted, he tweeted and deleted, and again, this is the same man who called out Jonathan Gannon after the Super Bowl, so there is a lot of noise around Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in social media.
And Roy, remember that this isn't the first time that Gardner-Johnson has turned down an extension. He turned down an extension with New Orleans before they traded him. So apparently he's looking for that mega bag. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's just a bag. And until he, like, and like, I don't know, this is just, and you're hearing some stuff from players, not like, I don't know, like media. Like, I don't know, I heard Roman Harper say, like, he might need to just get his, like, I don't know, like his off the field stuff in check, because I don't know, like, there's enough smoke there from a legit source, not like, I don't know, like BSAC Sports, where, like, I don't know, you're like, I don't know, like, no, there was enough, I don't know, pause, like, there was enough concern to not give Gardner-Johnson this extension. And I know that, like, I think we might have preferred Gardner Johnson over Slay in the beginning, but you know what? This is why this is why they're the professionals. I'm okay now.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not crying over spilled milk. I think the Eagles will figure out a way to address the safety position, whether it's in free agency or whether it's in the draft or whatever like that. Like, given the fact that, like you said, you have the best quarterback tandem that you've had, you know, in two decades returning, you know, and they'll be together for at least a couple of years, it seems like. I'm okay. In Howie we trust, like we said last week with John. Like, I feel perfectly comfortable in the fact that with Slay and Bradbury in the fold, and with, you know, what we saw last year from Reed Blankenship and, you know, Avonte Maddox being healthy, I'm perfectly comfortable.
Josiah Scott.
I'm comfortable. Kayvon Wallace. I'm perfectly comfortable with the way that the Eagles look. Right. Well, I'm comfortable. I don't love it, but I'm comfortable with where the Eagles are today in the secondary.
After the draft, then whatever predictions or whatever you think they make, will the Eagles have a good defense next year?
Well, Before I answer that question, let me add the Eagles did sign linebacker Nicholas Morrow from the Bears, 116 tackles and one interception.
Good old Nick Morrow.
Good old Nick Morrow, 28 years old. He did allow a disgusting 101.8 passer rating in coverage, and his PFF grade was like 55 or something. But they were the Bears, and they stunk. So I don't know how much to read into that, but he did play every defensive snap for the Bears last year. So if he was really bad, he probably wouldn't have been out there the whole time. So is he Kaiser White's replacement? I guess on paper. I don't know. But I do want to mention they did sign him this past week. Well, the Eagles, you said, will they have a good defense? Did you ask them?
Yeah.
That was your question? Sure. I think they'll have a good defense. Will it be as good as it was last year? No. I think we can all resign ourselves to say
no, that. No, but I feel that you're going to need Jalen Hurts and that offense to do a little more lifting. Not heavy lifting, but you're going to need them to do a little more. And I think that's reasonable.
I think it's reasonable, and I think they're in a good position to do that. Again, we didn't have a chance to talk about this last week with the addition of Rashad Penny, the running back formerly of the Seattle Seahawks. Again, a very injury-prone guy, but when he's on the field, he breaks big runs. He's a game-breaking type of running back.
Oh, man, speaking of tweeting and deleting, you had the jilted ex-girlfriend, another guy who just never felt loved or accepted, or like, I don't know. Like, can we, when did Eagles players become this, like, or ex-Eagles or current Eagles? Because there are so many Eagles right now that just need to get the hell off of Twitter and find a hobby right now. Like, I don't know, because you already had Miles in his feelings. Like, I don't know. I mean, he went from, like, begging. Like, I don't know, Casey and JoJo stuff. Please take me back. Gets a decent contract from Carolina. And then he's like, man, I just want to be wanted. And then you got like Gardner Johnson. Yeah, man, I think this Detroit defense, that was booty for like three quarters of the season last year. Nah, man, I think we got more talented Eagles.
Well, and there's the whole Javon Hargrave. You know, we would have made it to the Super Bowl if our quarterback, Brock Purdy, was healthy, Mr. Javon Hargrave, new San Fran Niner. Yeah, like, just to get back to the Miles Sanders thing, I will shoot him a little bit of bail in the fact that you and I have had dozens of discussions about how we didn't think the Eagles coaching staff really liked that dude. Like, we can't run from that. We can't.
No. But was he thinking about the fans, or was he talking about the coaches, or was he just talking about everybody?
I hope he was talking about Nicholas F. Sirianni. That's my, and Shane F. Steichen. That's my hope. Because again, the fans, even when they shouldn't have, they had this dude's back. Like all the
time. They did! Even when he was fumbling
all the time, had his back. When he couldn't catch the ball out of the backfield, had his back. By and large, Eagles fans were behind Miles Sanders.
Because I've seen Philly athletes get ripped for a lot for a lot less than Miles Sanders. Like, no, you know what? I said that, like, I don't know, like, Miles Sanders is like Tobias Harris of, like, I don't know, where, like, he puts up I don't know.
That's good. No, that, I think that's a good analogy. Because, again, when Tobias Harris, you know, misses or, like, airballs a wide open three, you know, there's that segment of people who are like, oh, it's just like when Miles Sanders misses a hole, there's certain people who I won't name who go on Twitter. I'm not naming names, but there's certain people who go on Twitter is like, if Miles Sanders had any good vision, he'd hit the hole. Da, 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 da. Like, it's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. Like, I get it. Like, they're really similar when it comes to that. But that being said, I'm just going to say, like, if Miles Sanders didn't feel love from the coaching staff, I get it. Because I saw that. Because it's like,
oh, no.
There were a lot of games he had, like, eight carries. Or, like, he would have, like, seven carries in, like, the first half. And, like, he would barely touch the ball for the rest of the game. We all saw it.
I mean, look at the Super Bowl. That performance felt like he did not want to put, like, I don't know, he did not want to put his body on the line for this crew. And, like, I don't know, if he felt slighted, then, I mean, maybe he felt, maybe it was, I don't know, like, I don't know, I don't know, like, maybe it was warranted, I don't know. But, like, I don't know, but I think we saw the writing on the wall after that Super Bowl. He was not coming back. And, like, I don't know, even though he wanted to come back, but now he got his money. he's gonna get eight man fronts because I don't even know who the hell the quarter. They don't even know who the quarterback is gonna be. They don't even have receivers. So Miles is not gonna be running behind Stoutland U. They're gonna be running behind Bayside High.
And it's like Wake Forest U, whatever. NC State.
Miles is gonna get he's gonna get paid, but he's gonna need a couple he's gonna get a wake up call big time.
Yeah. God bless you. You know, with a team that has LaVisca Chenault, Adam Thielen, and Terrence Marshall as wide receivers. God bless you for getting through those eight man fronts.
They don't even. Is their backup still PJ Walker? They don't even have a quarterback yet.
No, they got Andy Dalton.
Oh God.
Andy Dalton, baby. Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton with Matt Corral, who they don't want. As their backup. So have fun with that. But again, you get paid, you get reunited with Deuce, which is a good thing. So again, maybe Deuce can do a little something to kind of rejuvenate your career. But yeah, he felt slighted. Now he gets paid. The Eagles could replace him with someone else in the division. According to reports, Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed his choices down to the Jets, the Bengals, and the Philadelphia Eagles. However, John Clark of NBC Sports Philly says that the Eagles have not engaged in any conversations with Ezekiel Elliott, and Philly is just where he wants to play. And it's not just, you know, there's no evidence of mutual agreement as of yet.
Because he said, like, what running back does not want to play? Miles Sanders did.
Miles Sanders. Yeah. So Ezekiel Elliott, you know, earlier this week on Thursday, Eagles Twitter had a little freak out about Ezekiel Elliott maybe coming here, maybe not coming here.
No, but people were saying this dude is like DeMarco. No, DeMarco Murray was signed here to be the RB1, and he was a miserable SOB from minute one. Ezekiel, like, people were saying like Jordan Howard was productive in this offense. Zeke would be fine.
He'd be fine.
I don't know where on the depth chart he'd be. I'd be honest. If you gave me the option of just signing Zeke Elliott and stop with this Bijan Robinson fascination, because I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know. I don't know. But Bijan Robinson came to Philly for a visit. I mean, there's evidence of that. So I don't know. If they make that pick at 10, what's your initial reaction other than, whoa?
Yeah, so the Eagles did host Texas running back Bijan Robinson for an official visit earlier this week. Derek Gunn.
By the way, he's meant to be – there's a part of him that's meant to be here because he has the first name that will get botched 8 million times in a month.
Yeah, Bijan. Yeah, Bijan's not going to get spelled Bijan. Right. He's not going to get spelled right. He's not going to get pronounced right here in Philadelphia. But Derek Gunn of Jacob Sports said that there is zero chance the Eagles draft a running back at 10.
Good.
So it sounds like due diligence. You know, maybe he slips, maybe he doesn't slip, whoever, you know, whatever. Like, I can't see them drafting a running back at 10. I can see them at 30. But just to get back to your point, would I rather have Ezekiel Elliott or would I rather draft Bijan Robinson at 10? I'd just rather go the Ezekiel Elliott route. Like, I'm not drafting a running back at 10. Eagles have shown zero proclivity to draft running backs in the first round at all. I think the last one was Keith Byers in 1986.
Second round, however, is a different story. I feel that, I don't know, especially with I'm still under the belief that they will not be drafting at 10 or 30. They'll be either trading down or trading. I think they'll trade down, then up.
So all the mock drafts that have come out recently, these are all fugazi. Because the Eagles will not have the 10th pick in the first round. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair. So let's kind of
run down. That being said, I have no idea who they're going to pick because I feel that there's a lot of candidates available that I don't think are worth 10, but might be worth 15. Like the white bull from Iowa, like the kid from Clemson. Like, there's a lot of decent and shockingly just predict they're going to draft the defensive lineman because that's just – I feel it's almost fate, whether it's the kid from Pitt. Like, I don't know. I feel that they've set themselves up with draft – signing Slay and Bradbury, re-upping Slay and re-signing Bradbury, where they do their usual let's draft the guy in the trenches.
And the Eagles, again, with the there was four mock drafts that of note that came out this past week. And in each of these mock drafts, the Eagles wind up with a defensive lineman either at 10 or at 30. So I'll just kind of run down the list. Mel Kiper, in his third iteration of the mock draft, he had the Eagles taking the offensive tackle Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. And with the 30th pick, Kalijah Kansi, the guy Chris mentioned from Pitt, the defensive tackle from Pitt. Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, Miles Murphy, the DN at Clemson at 10, and Brian Branch, the Alabama safety at 30. The Ringer also has Brian Branch at 30 for the Eagles, and they also have Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia at 10.
I like
and,
that.
The Athletic, Bo Wolf, and has the 10th pick. Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback from Oregon, and Brian Bressy from Clemson, a defensive tackle. I'm not familiar with him. The defensive tackle from Clemson. So everybody has the Eagles taking a defensive lineman with one of the first two picks.
You're alive. You've actually followed Eagles for the last 15 years. They like their defensive linemen. I feel that, like, I don't know, they, and especially you re-signed the OGs for one more year.
Yeah.
Those OGs are going to be gone.
Yeah.
You need to get younger and cheaper on that defensive line. And this seems like a pretty, I don't know, deep draft in the first round for defensive linemen. Let's do it.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, this is the last dance. Like, you got to replace both of them, these guys. Ideally, you replace one of them this year. You know, you draft one of the replacements this year in the first round. Again, whether it's the Kalijah Kansi or Brian Bressy, a D-tackle, or, again, whether it's an edge rusher like Nolan Smith. I like that ringer. I like that ringer draft, that Nolan Smith at 10 and Brian Branch at 30. I like that a lot. Like, if I had my druthers, that's how I would like it. And I agree with you. I think the Eagles trade out, because I think it just makes too much sense.
I feel that, like, I don't know. And the guy that, like, you're going to get, does he need to play immediately?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, does he need to play more than Jordan Davis did?
Yes. Whoever you draft at 18 or 10, or I'm always, because again, I floated that whole Detroit Lion thing to you, because I've been on the JimmyJohnsonDraftChart.com, whatever that website is, and has all the points for the draft picks. The Eagles' 18th pick is basically the exact same number of points as the Lions' 18th and 48th pick. I think it makes a lot of sense for both teams to do a little handshake deal. Eagles move down at 18. You can still get a quality dude at 18. And then
are you taking a defensive tackle or BPA DL or like?
I probably take BPA DL slash secondary at 18.
Oh wow!
Yeah, because again, I'd probably lean D line, but I mean, if Brian Branch is there at 30, is that they're at 18? I might, because he's kind of ranked 18-ish. I might take him at 18. If one of those cornerbacks slide, I doubt it. But I mean, if one of those cornerbacks slide, I don't think Witherspoon will be there. But if Joey Porter Jr. is there, I might take him at 18. Yeah. So I'll go BPA D line slash secondary at 18.
I have a couple days off next week. I'm gonna come up with my fave five D lineman. I'm gonna because I feel that, like, I don't know, like, I'm not sure, because I haven't really looked. I'm not sure what separates these guys, but I hear a lot of things about he's not Aaron Donald, but they went to the same school. And, like, I don't know, he's a little undersized like Aaron Donald, but I don't know. Like, I feel that, I don't know, when you're in a defense with Hassan Reddick and, like, the pass rushing they have and Jordan Davis, like, I don't know, like, this is an important year for Jordan Davis. I know, like, I don't know, he kind of, like, fell behind. Like, once he got hurt and then they signed Sue and Linval Joseph, he kind of just disappear. You can't have him disappear. Like, he needs to, at the very least, be that elite run stuffer.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I don't think there's any way around it. I just, the thought of trading down intrigues me, because that will give you four top 60 picks or 61 and wherever.
Now, is quantity important?
I think you have a decent amount of holes to fill. When I say holes to fill, I mean holes to fill immediately and for next year. So I think for me,
so you're looking at long term when, like, right. No, I feel that, I don't know, this isn't getting talked about enough. A lot of your best players are old. Yeah. I mean, like Lane, Kelsey, Brandon Graham, BG. I don't know how long you have Slay. I mean, yeah. At the very least, you have him for a year. And, like, I don't know. I'd say you have them for two. But like,
two,
I don't know.
Two at the most, right?
Yeah. Like, I know. I feel that. I feel maybe, like, I don't know. Like, I'd say quantity is as equal as quality. Like, I don't know. And if you get four picks in the top in the top 60, then, but you know, like, that's not Howie's MO. Like, I don't know. You know that he's going to, I don't know, flip one of them for a 2024 because they have the Saints second round pick next year. This is the greatest trade ever. No, I feel that. And especially next year, because, like, I don't know, like, that extension is going to kick in next year and you're going to need to be young and cheap and good.
Yeah, the Eagles, like you said, like the Eagles are you know, probably looking forward to next year because they have the Saints number two pick next year. They have a third round comp pick next year. They have a Vikings pick next year. So they have, I'm doing a rough math. They have 12 picks already in the 2024 draft. The Eagles, I would almost guarantee you, are going to flip one of these picks they have this year for another pick next year. And then next year, they'll probably package a couple of those picks so they can move up. Because that's what Howie does. Like, Howie just doesn't sit there and just draft guys. Like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, no.
And they'll find the next desperate team. Because I feel that's their thing. I mean, they found it with Miami. They found it with New Orleans. I mean, at some point, one of these idiot teams will stop calling the Eagles or not take Eagles calls because they're going to get fleeced. I mean, that Saints trade looks worse every passing day. I mean, I don't even know who the Saints got with that pick. Like, God, like, I don't know. Like, was he worth all that?
We looked it up. It was Olave, right? Or was it, I forget. It wasn't a horrible trade. I think when you look back at it, but yeah, like, it's, that being said, like, that's a boatload of, that's a lot of picks, man. Like, that was a lot.
Yeah. For a team that's pretty mid right now. So it's not, it might have been a good pick, but for a team that desperately needs to be young and cheap, once again, the Saints just refuse to rebuild. They are just not in the rebuilding stage. They're going to just try to sign Derek Carr. They're going to, like, re-sign Michael Thomas to it. Like, no, like, I don't, they just don't believe in rebuilding. And those are the teams that the Eagles love to trade with. Miami did it, like, and you'll see another team. They're going to be like, we're tired of sucking.
Yeah, the Saints packaged that deal with a couple of other picks to get the pick that got Olave. So, in part, they got Chris Olave with that pick. Again, who's a really good receiver. Like, he's fine. But that's a really, really good haul out of Howie Roseman to get basically to slide down two spots, get a first-round pick, and get a second-round pick out of all that. So, kudos to the Eagles for doing that. I have to ask you the question, though, because – again, the Eagles aren't the only team making moves this offseason. The Cowboys, Stephon Gilmore, and Brandon Cooks. Are you scared of what they're doing down in Big D?
I mean, I would be, but they still have Mike McCarthy. And I'll say it, they still got Dak, who needs to, like, I don't know, like, exercise some of these playoff demons because, like, he wasn't good last year. No. And now they're saying, oh, like, I don't know, now you got Brandon Cooks. You got a good offensive line. You got rid of Zeke now. Like, I don't know. Now they can finally give the ball to the better running back. At some point, is this got to be, like, put up or shut up time for Dak?
You would think so. Because, again, like, you have, again, Tony Pollard. Again, he is the number one guy. Just signed his franchise contract or tag or whatever earlier this week. You have probably the best receiving core that you've had since you've been there. You took a hit at tight end because Dalton Schultz is gone. But there really isn't that much of an excuse for Dak at this point.
That defense should be really, really, really good again.
They didn't lose anybody. I don't think. I can't think of anybody that lost.
You got another year like a more improved Micah Parsons. The Giants are like the thing now is you're getting less gimme games. Yeah. I mean, you might get a couple gimme games from the Manders because they'll still stink. But now you get the first place schedule. And I don't know, like that. This is why it is hard to get back to Super Bowl. I think the Eagles will be good, but I don't know. There's like, and I think the NFC might be a little down. I mean, like RG3 did a ranking of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. They're terrible.
They're horrible.
I couldn't even, like, he said Kirk Cousins is the second best quarterback, and he might be right.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
I'm taking him over Dak. I'll tell you that.
Everybody in the South is trash. Yeah. You probably, yeah, God.
Geno, wow. Eugene Smith is a top five NFC quarterback.
Wow. Yeah. No, you know what? So you're taking Kirk over Dak?
Yes. Without even flinching.
I'll probably flip. For me, that's probably a coin flip. That's probably a coin flip. But still, I mean, it's after Jalen Hurts, it kind of falls off a big cliff. A decent cliff.
This is the same guy who had trouble throwing last year, and now he's the best quarterback in the conference.
This is amazing. Wow. Because everybody is either gone or. Well, who knows with Aaron Rodgers? It's a bad scene in the NFC.
Because one, you don't even know with the 49ers who the hell's 20 quarterback. Who the
quarterback is, right? Is it Brock? Is it Trey? Is it TBD? We know.
Is it Sam Darnold?
Yeah, we know it's not Jimmy because he's gone. He's in Vegas. Yeah, no, that's a wow. And God bless Matt Stafford, but he's Matt Stafford.
Jared Goff might be a top five guy now.
Jared Goff's probably he's probably a top five guy. He's a top five fantasy guy. He put up some numbers last year. I'll give him credit on that. So yeah, wow. Yeah. It's amazing how the tables have turned in less than
Is why the NFL is so interesting every year, because you really do just have so much turnover and so many teams that, like, I don't know, have to get under the cap or just cutting dudes because they just can't afford them, or like and just teams that just naturally rebuild, like the Lions, and like they might be the best team in that division.
No, but the Lions probably aren't. Like, they are set up to be a decent team next year. Well, they had 9 wins last year. I think their first winning season in a while. They're set up to have a pretty decent team.
I'd be shocked if they don't win that division. I mean, you're gonna get the Packers with Jordan Love.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what to expect from the Bears. They got like 30 new players, but I'm not sure they'll be any good.
Yeah, they got better, but
and the Vikings are the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings are the Vikings. No, I mean, Adam Thielen's old, but there's no Adam Thielen. So again, you can triple cover Justin Jefferson now, and then we can figure out what happens. But yeah, no, that NFC Central is kind of trash now.
What's worse than that? The NFC South.
Yeah, you know, the South is garbage, but they were garbage last year. Well, you know what? I will convince myself of the Saints by the time August rolls around. I promise you, I will look at that Saints team and I'll say, you know what? This team can win like 10, 11 games.
Now, is Derek Carr, like, where would you fit Derek Carr? Because I keep forgetting Derek Carr's in the NFC. Is he in that Cousins?
Top five. He's top five.
I don't know, man.
He's not Cousins. He's not Dak. But
he's definitely a tier below those guys. Because I've seen this dude choke too many. Like, this dude has not won anything in the NFL.
Anything. Yeah, he's not top three in the NFC, but is he 4, 5, 6? Probably, because I mean, who else is there? I mean, what are you talking about? Daniel Jones. I'm telling you right now, the Saints are the team. If it's not like the Lions are the Lions, they'll be whatever. I will convince myself that the Saints.
The Saints are going to be the team that didn't make the playoffs that will make the playoffs.
No, I'm going to convince myself that they are the team. They'll probably stink. But I'll say, you know what, man, you know.
No, but there's going to be a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. Shoot, there might be two that didn't make the playoffs last year and will make it. I mean, it's science.
Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, healthy slant boy, Chris Olave, Derek Carr. Like, that's a decent team.
And they still got, like, beast on defense. They got Cam Jordan. No.
Yeah.
No, but this is what, like, not rebuilding does. They just figured out, like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea how they figured out how to sign Derek Carr for $40 million. Right. But, no, I feel that, like, they realized we tried the Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton thing. They just ain't it. So, you know what? Let's shop a tier, two tiers above that. I feel that, like, I don't know. Like, we'll say it, man. You can only be shopping at that, like, that Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo tier if you got any shot in hell of, like, being considered a contender.
A contender, yeah, that's it. That's it. Nothing worse than that. So, yeah, so kudos to the Saints. So maybe they can do something. We have about 5 minutes left. I do want to send our best wishes out to Rhys Hoskins, who suffered a knee injury in spring training this week. So prayers up to him. I know people were complaining about the World Baseball Classic after Edwin Diaz got hurt. And who else got hurt? I forget who else got hurt at the World Baseball Classic. They were like, ban the World Baseball Classic. Players get hurt. Players get hurt in spring training. Like, Rhys Hoskins was going back in the outfield for like a routine ground ball and like blew his knee out. Like, guys can just get hurt. It doesn't matter where you're doing.
No, Gramatica got hurt celebrating a field goal. Yeah, I mean, so like, I don't know what to tell you. It's life. Unfortunately, it sucks for Rhys. And like, I don't know. It's not, I mean, like, I know he's become, I don't know, like kind of like the favorite, like I'd say it, whipping boy. Like, I feel like he, like, I mean, I know he had that moment, but like, he's been like the kind of, I've almost, I hate to bring this guy's name up again. I feel like he's almost like Tobias Harris of like, I don't know, the persona non grata of the Phillies.
And I feel really bad for him because this is a contract year for him. Like, last year under his deal. So again, this is going to be.
Especially for baseball players, considering they are massively underpaid forever. I mean, arbitration's cute, but they're not getting any guaranteed money.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you finally have like a legit looking starting lineup because you don't have Kyle, God bless Kyle Schwarber, who led the NL in batting average and in home runs, but he shouldn't be a leadoff hitter. You have a legit leadoff hitter now in Trey Turner. So you had a decent looking lineup, 1 through 9 or 1 through 8 anyway.
Bomer, Alec Boehm.
So Derek Hall, your man up, your next man up at first base. Hopefully you can hold a fort down if Hoskins is out for a while. A couple of minutes left before we leave. I would just like you to, again, since you enjoy doing this, so I'd like to let you take your victory lap again. Ben Simmons and Clutch Sports have decided to part ways. And according to reports, Ben Simmons is looking to hire the same agent or agency as Jimmy Butler. So again, Mr. Domingo, you have the floor for 90 seconds or so, please.
You know what, man? If I was good at Photoshop, I would take that Nostradamus album and put my face on there. And like, I don't know, like, but I'm not creative like that. But I will just say, I'm rarely right. I was right. Like, no, but I feel like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not a fan, but I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm telling you, man. After that first Celtics series, I was like, something's wrong with this dude. And like, I don't know. Especially after that Raptors series, because no one really talked about this, Roy. But what if Ben Simmons actually plays in the bubble? Does he even make it to the Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers era?
I think he does. Yeah, I think he does.
You think he gets one more shot with, like, Doc gives him one more shot and Daryl gives him one more shot? Because I keep forgetting, he didn't play in that bubble because he was hurt.
He was hurt. Yeah, he was hurt in that bubble. And then by the end, like, everybody was hurt at the end of that bubble series. But again, it was no excuse for getting smashed like they did. But yeah, I think they probably would have just wrote it off as the bubble and just probably just would have just kind of canceled that season out. So I think it would have ended close to the same way it ended. But again, Ben Simmons, maybe this is what he needs. Yet another thing that he needs to get his mind right.
What else does he need?
He has a new team. He has a new coach on the new team. He has a new woman in his life.
You know what?
A new agency. You know, his
agent.
New house.
Put you on the spot. Ben Simmons plays for the blank next season.
Toronto Raptors. Just like a team that like was probably going to blow it up because it's not going to work and they got to change something up. Toronto Raptors. I'll say Toronto Raptors. Yeah.
I
don't think it's the Nets.
I'm going to say the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. That is Pop going to be there or is Pop going to retire?
No, absolutely not. Right, because if you wanted to force Greg Popovich out, like immediately trade for Benson. He will be like, because I could not imagine a dude that would rip Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan would be able to handle, I don't know, a practice with that guy. Because I feel that, like, I don't know, like how many coaches have been just absolutely exasperated with this man for the last 3 short years?
Yeah, no, it's been, he's going through, three at least. Now we know, for the last 3 years.
Who knows the Jock Vaughn for stop caring? He's just like, you know what? I have no idea what that's going on with him, dude.
No, it is. He's like, it is what it is. And that's just the way you have to take, you know, take it with Ben Simmons. Maybe he plays the rest of this year. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows?
Oh, he is 1 million kajabillion never playing another game for the Nets.
Oh, man. Well, again, hopefully for them, hopefully he is ready for the playoffs whenever that comes for the Nets. But until next week, we are out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, 106.5 FM. WPPM LP Philadelphia or wherever you get your podcast. But until then, we're out of here. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.